years, everybody wore pants. They were not known as pantsuits as we have today, and they were not as feminine as the pantsuits are today. We even at that point, we had heard about this place on Chippewa Street where they would tailor the slacks for our girls, and we went in there, and I, as a sentimental thing, I still had them. I threw them away when I moved. But at that point, I had these tailor-made slacks, and I was very proud of them. Excuse me. And then at one point, my mother said, "It's been a year since I've seen you in a dress." Of course, this was when I was working shift work during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I started realizing maybe I better wear dresses more. And Harriet and I talked about it, and we wore suits and, you know, skirts and jackets and so on. And would only wear the slacks and that when we went out with the gay crowd.
So both of you would wear slacks when you went out with the gay crowd?
Right. She would not be feminine and I in slacks, or vice versa.
Uh-huh. Were most of the other couples different from you at Ralph Martin's?
No. Actually, basically, I have never bought the fact of being butch or femme, because I think all of us have some masculine tendencies and all of us have some feminine tendencies,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the boys or the girls or the men and the women, whichever you might want to call it. As you look around at the homosexuals, some of them have masculine tendencies and some of them have a certain amount of feminine. I don't think that any one person, other than the extreme cases of which I have known a couple. Like, I know this one girl, Ruth, who used to come to work in a man's jumpsuit for years and carry a lunch pail, and I don't think has ever had a dress on. What was hers? What? That was an extra affair. As a matter of fact, some years later, we were at a party, about maybe 10 years ago, and she said, "You know, the reason I discouraged, we broke up, she said, the reason I discouraged you because you wouldn't come and live with me." But she lived with her mother and father at that point, and I was going with somebody else at that point, and this was an extracurricular activity.
Well, that's interesting that the impression we had of Ralph Martin's from the people we've interviewed, that the majority of people, when they went in as couples, that the butches would look butch and the femmes would look very feminine. That's not your impression.
Not our crowd.
Not your crowd. But
no.
Were there other crowds that were like that?
I don't know, because that was so many years ago. I couldn't give you an honest answer on that.
So your crowd was most people would be with slacks,
right,
and not too exaggerated the
no.
differences and all
no.
that. That's interesting to know. So that's like today a little bit, that if you go to the bar, there are some people who are very into roles and some people who aren't.
Right. But you will also have extremes in straight people. For example, you will see some women that dress to the nines and wouldn't be seen dead unless they had a certain amount of jewelry, makeup, and etc. And you'll see other housewives that are in a house dress. It's the same thing. Human nature is the same either way. Although I do think with the lesbians, it's a little more accentuated.
Mm-hmm.
But more extremes.
It would help us if you tried to think about that. Like, let's say those butches in the Butches Night Out.
Mm-hmm.
Were they usually with women who were dressed pretty feminine? The ones that you didn't like going to Butch's Night Out with?
Yes, somewhat. Somewhat, because Harriet was more feminine than I was, for one thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Frillier blouses, I preferred tailored.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose you could categorize it that way.
Mm-hmm. And those other butches that they would be with women who were even more feminine dressed, what did you think about that? Do you remember?
Well, some of the ones that went to extremes, I thought was rather ridiculous.
You thought
again,
it was ridiculous.
I always found it repugnant to wear a sign on my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, we live in a straight society, and we should have to conform. We can be gay when we're in our own crowd at a house party. When we're out in public, we should sort of not flaunt gayety.
Mm-hmm.
I never went for that idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe because Harriet drummed it into me so much at the beginning.
What kind of work did Harriet do again?
She was a floor inspector.
What's a floor inspector?
You check in other people. Well, actually, she worked in a production department, and so I got her into inspection. Mm-hmm. And then she worked her way up to being a floor inspector. See, this was during the war when you got rapid promotions.
Right.
This mm-hmm. is when I started going up the ladder, but I kept on going. She got married.
What were the kind of things that you liked about Ralph Morton's?
The fact you could go in there and be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And generally did not have to worry about sightseers because he discouraged sightseers, so you could dance with any of the girls or dance with your girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did people do that? Did you dance with other girls as well as
sure.
Y'all?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Other things that you liked about Morton's?
I guess it was the novelty of having a place of your own to go to that was strictly gay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was, the Pines, it was on Elm Street near Burton.
Was
and the Pines.
Uh-huh.
And then there was, one of the boys was in show business and he used to, Frankie was a male impersonator and he used to, Seneca in Chicago, there was a Brogan's, I think the name was, if I remember correctly, and we used to go down there, and of course there they accepted gay people too, but not completely. It was a mixed crowd there. They didn't frown or throw you out there.
The Pines was at the,
Elm.
And it was at the same time as Morton's?
Yes, pretty much same time. In fact, that was where I saw my first female impersonator.
Was it?
And I know it was the same time because I was with Harriet.
Uh-huh. And were there any other taverns or bars you used to go to?
No.
In the 40s? Did you ever go to a place called Winters?
No, wait a minute. I went there twice.
What kind of place was Winters in comparison to Morton?
I didn't like it.
Why not?
I don't remember. I know at that time I didn't care much for it and we never went back.
Hmm.
And then, of course, as I got older, I didn't go to taverns anymore. We went more to house parties.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
In fact, I haven't been into a gay bar in so many years, I couldn't tell you the last time.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, try and make a guess. You think in 1960?
Carol's on Ellicott Street. Carol was not one of the girls.
The Carousel?
Yeah. She was strictly straight, but she catered to gay trade, and she, again, would not let anybody straight come in and bother any of the gals. And if a policeman walked in, she would high-sign everybody, and you knew it the minute they were there, and you acted very respectfully. And Carol was very good to the girls.
Was that the last bar you
were
in?
That was the last bar that I've been in.
You haven't been to one since then? Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Matter of fact, two of the boys wanted Mary and I to go to an opening of the gay bar in Niagara Falls, which is a sort of a men's homosexual place. And one of the boys had written the insurance on it, and I don't remember why, but I said, no, I wasn't interested in going.
Hmm. What do you think, that's interesting, we're jumping all around, but that's all right. What do you think, it must be that you stopped drinking, too. Is that it? What do you think made you stop going to bars? That's important.
I was drinking when I was going to bars.
Uh-huh.
Probably and possibly because I've always been afraid to drive when I've been drinking, and the more I drank, the more afraid I was of driving.
Mm-hmm.
I was always scared to death that I would hurt somebody
mm-hmm.
through my drinking. So I drank more at home. And then one day I decided I'd had enough of this foolishness. And by the time I straightened up and became a good girl, so I joined Alcoholics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Having had three other experiences, though, one of the couples I know, the gal was a nursing supervisor, and I said, I have a problem with alcohol. She said, I know, because we travel the same crowd. And I'm like, what can I do about it? She said, why don't you go to the psychiatrist? So she mentioned the psychiatrist, and I went. And he said, what's your problem? I said, I'm an alcoholic. And after the third time, he said he didn't know anybody that was better adjusted than I was. And he wished all his patients had the insight I did, and there was nothing he could do for me, that I would just have to stop drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So I told Joni that, and she said, you've got to be kidding. Because I was completely honest with her. Then I went to a psychologist that, clinical psychologist, VA recommended, who she was a friend of mine. And I went to the psychologist for 9 months, and he had me in an abuse, and then he told me one day that he could teach me how to drink socially within 1 year. And I went home, and I thought, no, this is ridiculous. I know how to drink. I want to learn how not to drink. So I promptly went back to drinking. Stop going to him. Stop taking the interviews. And then I drank for a while more, and then I said, this is enough, this is ridiculous, this is asinine, this is stupid. And so I called central office and got into the program, which I never regret. But I think that many of the lesbians turn to alcohol because of the uncertainty of life. And I know a lot of lesbians. I can spot them when they walk through the door.
And the alcohol is anonymous. Well, it's interesting. I certainly know quite a few women who have been in Alcoholics Anonymous. We've interviewed several. So, like Bobby doesn't drink. She stopped because she has a lot of alcoholics in her family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has alcoholics in her family. Her mother and father, there was a... Rutledge University did a test with some twins, identical twins born of alcoholic parents who were not raised in that alcoholic environment. In fact, the twins were not even raised together, and invariably they became alcoholics. Mm-hmm. There is a tendency, a very, very big tendency, if there is alcoholism in your family, to give it to your children.
To give it to them.
And that we know from statistics in AA.
Well, let's get back to your youth and things. This woman, Ruth, who you had this crush on, and well, you know, she was not the woman who we have heard about from other people. It wasn't Ruth Rebell, was it?
No, but I knew Skip.
You knew Skip.
Very well.
This was a different Ruth.
Mm-hmm. I knew Skip for years. She was traveling in our same crowd.
She used to travel in the same
mm-hmm.
crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So this woman who you knew at 12 years old, then you had this crush on her.
I had crushes on teachers ever since I've been... going to school.
Yeah, crushes on teachers, but you never registered in your mind, you never thought that you might be different from
me. No, well, I knew I was different, but I couldn't figure how or why. I didn't know why or what caused it.
Did you ever talk to anybody about it?
No.
Never talked to anybody
no.
about it? There was nobody to talk to?
No.
Yet. And this woman, Ruth, who kissed you on the forehead, you never thought to talk
to? No, but I always loved her for the fact that she never threw me into gay life at the tender age of 12.
Right, right.
That she never made a pass at me. She never tried to get me into lesbianism in any way.
Uh-huh, she let
and then when we rediscovered each other at Ralph Martin's at 10, we were friends ever since. And as I said, I was just to the memorial service would go on and say.
Mm. I was going to ask you about... Did you read The Well of Loneliness when she told you to read it?
I read it when I was... Well, they used to, in those days, have lending libraries. For 3 cents a day, you got a book.
Mm-hmm.
And the drugstore had a lot of books. Mm-hmm. And I was an avid reader. And so when I was about 14, I read it once.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think?
Well, I didn't make any sense out of it at that point. And then when I was 17 or so, I read it again.
Mm-hmm.
And... I still didn't connect it with me.
You didn't?
No. And, actually I got married when I was 18. And, I don't know, it was sometime, it was after Harry and I started going together. And then I read it again, and then I realized everything it said, how it applied to me.
But you never thought of it when you read it before?
No.
Isn't that interesting? Did you have friends who read it?
No.
No, it was just you. Read it.
Well, I never talked about it.
You never talked about
my feelings to people. Hmm. Well, strangely enough, in I went to Narden Academy and fell in love with my Latin teacher who also put a play on. And guess what part I played? The carpenter.
You were the carpenter, huh?
This was at Narden at a play.
So you always had those tendencies.
Always.
Thinking,
I mean, I always took things apart. Like I took radios apart and fixed them when I was 11, 12 years old. I've always been very mechanically inclined. Probably why I ended up an engineer.
Mm-hmm. And when you were finished with high school, were you doing sciences in high school?
No, because, I had gone to Narden Academy for 3 years. I was going to be a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to have been a doctor, but my mother working for a living, I didn't think it was fair to put her through that. And she wanted me to go to college. But at that point, I didn't know what I wanted to be. So after I went to Narden, I was going to be a nurse. I went there for 3 years in a college entrance course, which is what you took for nursing. And then I got pneumonia that year. And Doc, my uncle, that was, of course, before the age of penicillin, I was 16, said that my heart would never stand nursing. He should know. He's dead and gone. Here I am. But, excuse me, So I transferred over to Fosdick Maston and took the business course, which the only thing that did me any good was my English and my electives. In other words, I did the 4-year commercial program in 2 years, which can give me one post-grad year. In other words, 1 year beside my senior. And started working as an inspector in a factory here in town. And then, of course,
how did you find out that you were good at tools and do the thing?
Well, that's always been a natural ability to me. I've taken things apart. When I was, before I went to kindergarten, my mother got me one of those automobiles that you pump like so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one spring she came home and from work, and I had it all in pieces in the, all over the backyard because I wanted to see where it go. So I was doing things like that way back then. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or fixing boilers, or fixing hot water heaters, or fixing radios, or fooling with cars.
When you got married, did you expect to work for the rest of your life?
No, I was going to work 2 years and then settle down and have a family.
That was your plan. Mm-hmm. Then once you left your husband, what did you think? You knew you'd be working for the rest of your life?
Yes, because after I met Harriet, I knew that I was gay. I definitely knew I'd be working the rest of my life.
And that wasn't hard for you, right? Because your mother had worked all her life?
Mm-hmm. Because my dad died when I was two. I was adopted. And my adopted father died when I was two.
Huh.
And so my mother had good work because they'd only been married 5 years.
So, I'm just trying to find out how you got into engineering and things.
Well, from being an inspector during the war, I got as in the floor inspection department. And then from floor inspection, this is when they, my boss called me down one day and had the head of tool engineering there and said, would I want to be a tool designer? And from tool designing, I went into time and motion analysis. And I was going to school during this time. And then when I got into time motion analysis, that's when I started going to UB nights, working 60 hours a week and going to UB.
This was during the war?
No, this was after the war.
After the war.
And then from standard budget cost, I went into cost control. And then from cost control, went into statistical analysis and quality control. And from there, went into technical librarian, which involved a lot of research in engineering.
Did you?
Because all these other jobs gave me a beautiful background for the technical librarian.
Were you in the same company all the time?
Yeah, but I never worked at the same job more than 6 years. And every time I moved, it was a promotion and an increase in pay.
Okay, well, you're interested in courting and all this, so can you kind of remember what it was like the first time you felt that you liked Harriet and how you approached her and all that?
Well, we... You want to know the sex end of it?
Well, no, I was courting, but then if you want to tell me the sex end too, that's fine.
Well,
I was going to say, I'll ask her some questions on that. But
I started bowling, uh-huh. And this is where she was captain of the team. And then uh-huh. We started doing things. I went over to her apartment. Her folks, she was from Toronto, so she lived in an apartment. And I started going over there. We began doing things together weekends. And we were dating at this point.
You two knew you were interested in one another?
Well, I was very fond of her.
Uh-huh.
And New Year's Eve, we started being friends in October when the bowling season opened. And New Year's Eve, we had double dated. And one fellow went home, and the other one took me up to Harry's apartment. We took her home. And he got drunk in the kitchen while we went to bed. And at that point, I knew nothing about sex with a female.
Uh-huh.
It just all came naturally.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't read any books. I didn't know what to do. It just happened.
Uh-huh. That night, New Year's Eve night.
And
with the guy drunk in the kitchen.
After I got up, we woke him up. We took the cab home. He lived a few doors up the street from me. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yes.
Her and I laugh about it to this day.
Had she ever been to bed with a woman before then?
She never admitted it, but I possibly think she had.
And but she knew about lesbian life?
Yes.
She did, because she had some lesbian friends.
Lesbian friends, but she claimed I was the first person that we went together. And as far as I know, she was, from everybody in Buffalo that she knew.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in Buffalo, she knew lesbians all were with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she had met the other lesbians through the bowling team? Well, how'd she
meet? I don't know how she met them. I really couldn't tell you that.
Oh. But then when you became your set of friends, were some of them were on the bowling team and some of them weren't, huh?
No, just Harriet and I were on the bowling
team.
Oh,
just Harriet and you?
Yeah, I was worked in all different places.
And
there's only a couple that worked the same place we did, and they didn't bowl.
Oh, you two worked at the same place, and it was the company bowling team.
Right.
I see. I misunderstood.
Oh,
right.
Maybe I didn't explain that thoroughly enough.
I see. It was the company bowling team.
She taught me how to bowl. The first year I bowled, I had an average of 136, which is most unusual. And it was due to her tutoring me. It was not due to my skill. It was due to her teaching.
So it's what interests me is how she met these other lesbians. And you have no idea.
I don't know.
Huh. That's an interesting.
Couldn't tell you. I think she met them through work. But some of them had worked there and then went to other places when I met her.
Mm-hmm.
As I remember now, yes, I'm thinking one in particular that used to work there and they were friends. And then she went out to American Standard.
Right, because it's an interesting question as to how lesbians met one another in the 30s. You know, nowadays, you ask around, say, where's a lesbian bar and you could meet somebody. But in 1930...
Yeah, it was all very hush-hush-hush.
Very hush, so that's why I'm asking this question. And
yeah, as I think of it, that's how they met. That's how she met some of these people.
From work and everything. So then what did you think after New Year's Eve? Did you say, were you scared or you like... You were madly in love. You weren't scared at all.
No.
So then you and Harriet,
And for the first year, we just stayed by ourselves. It was about the second year that we first started going to Gay Bars. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember how we started going. I don't remember. I think it was one of somebody she knew said, why don't you come down to Eddie's, and that's how it started.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those people at that era that we traveled with, I am still friends today.
Mm.
And good friends.
And there were people you traveled to Eddie's with.
Mm-hmm.
And then together you all went to Ralph Lauren's.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you wouldn't call Eddie's a gay bar because it was the front was straight and then the back
room was the gay part.
Hmm. What do you think made him willing to have lesbians in the back room?
I don't know. But he was very nice to us. He was not sneering or snobbish or anything but kind.
Huh. Was it only lesbians or was it gay men too?
Only lesbians.
Only lesbians.
George Ralph Martin, the gay men and the gay girls.
Hmm. Okay, so you and Harriet, you acted love on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, go ahead.
New Year's Eve, and then you talked about it and said, let's be together, or what happened?
Well, we were friends and we did things together, and then she moved out to my house. Which was my mother and my stepfather. My mother had remarried, and my grandfather, and she and I. And that worked for a while, and then we decided we'd rather have our own place because it would give us more freedom, and so we got an apartment.
When you two lived in your house, did you sleep together?
Mm-hmm.
You shared a room?
Mm-hmm.
What, did your mother know what was going on here?
I don't think so.
So you were very careful?
Oh, yeah, had to be.
Right. Okay, so then you moved out and you got an apartment.
Uh-huh.
And what was that like, setting up house together?
Yeah, we bought furniture. So we didn't have any. Mm-hmm. I had some things from my marriage, but not very much. Because while I was supposed to get the wedding gifts before I got there to get them, because I didn't go near the apartment when Armand broke up, he had moved everything out. Which I could have gone to court about, and I thought, no, we'll have peace. And then for 6 or 7 months, everywhere her mother and I went, or I went, he would fall one block behind. Until finally I got a court order that he was not to follow me.
Hmm.
It was kind of eerie because the garage was a block from where we lived. And of course I put the car in the garage and then I'd see him falling out the street. And knowing his violent temper, I never knew what he's going to do.
Dorothy, I noticed my house is cold. Would you like a sweater or anything to put on?
Yeah.
You would. I think what we were talking about was, before we got to your ex-husband following you around, was you and Harriet moving into an apartment by yourself, leaving your mother's home.
Right, we bought furniture. And of course, at that time, people leaving home, girls leaving home was most unusual. Now it's an accepted thing. There, it was a catastrophe.
Talk a little bit about that. What was that like?
Well, my mother went to bed that day, and she was very ill, and I was leaving her, and so on and so forth. Of course, you see, My first father, my adopted father, dying when I was 2, and then mother not remarrying until I was 22. She and I had been very, very close all those years. Mm-hmm. So for me to want to live someplace else, it was a very traumatic thing for my mother. But then she got used to it, to my living with different girls and so on and so forth.
Did she ever come to think that you were a lesbian or...
I don't know. We never discussed it, other than once, at the beginning, at the era where I was working at the war effort, and everybody wore pants, as she called them. Mm-hmm. And I had had a couple of the gals out to the house. And we were, I still remember driving down River Road, I don't know where we were going, somewhere toward Niagara Falls, because we lived in Tonawanda, city of Tonawanda at that point. And she said, "You have some strange friends these days." And I said, "Oh, I said, I work with them." And she said, "Yes, but," she said, "everybody's going to think you're one of them." And I was very tempted to say, "I am." And my common sense came to the fore, and I said, "Well, all I know is they're my friends." So we never discussed it, and it was never discussed from that day on. So she might have known and didn't want to face it, because she had been in the business world until she remarried. When I was 22, she had been in the business world and was an assistant buyer at one of the downtown stores and traveled to New York on buying trips. So she was more knowledgeable than the average housewife would have been. But it was never discussed. And she was always very, very good to all my girlfriends.
Did you go over there for dinner with your girlfriend?
Oh, sure.
And there was no problem?
No.
But you would be very cautious and not look like you were in your
life? No, I wouldn't hold hands or gaze adoringly in eyes or anything like that.
What about when you had this new apartment? Was there any trouble with the neighbors?
No, and we had a Polish landlord by the name of Walter, who was a deputy in the sheriff's department and also was a partner of Judge Fisher's. And when we first went to get the apartment, of course, now you must remember, this was in 1938, where wages were very, very low, like about $15 a week. We saw this apartment in the paper, and we went down to look at it. It was at 137 Elmwood Avenue, and it was upstairs in the rear. It was very, very nice, and so Walter showed it to us, and then we sat and talked. And they wanted $35. He and Fisher owned a lot of apartments around town. And I said, "Well, we can't afford that." Because I said, "I always pay my bills," but I said, "We cannot afford that. We don't earn that much." And he said, "Well, could you go through?" I said, "No. Could you go 25? And this included heat, gas, and electricity. And I said, "Yes, that we can do." And his rent was always there. Well, we got to be very, very good friends. Now, whether he knew, we were friends till the day he died, and he also went through a couple of other girlfriends with me. And at another time, I rented another apartment there with another girl. Whether he knew I was gay or what, I don't know. All I know is that we were very, very close friends, and he very unusually never made a pass. Although he'd come up and collect the rent, and he'd sit and have a couple of beers. One night he got smashed and stayed overnight in the front bedroom. This was with Harriet and I. And we just put him to bed, and he got up early. He didn't want the neighbors to see him leave our apartment. And then we had two of the other girls that were friends of ours needed an apartment, and the front one was vacant, and he rented it to them. So whether he knew about gay life, well, I don't know, but all I know is Walter was always very, very good to me and never made a pass, which is most unusual.
Right, it was.
And one of the boys said they had seen him at Ralph Martin. So whether he had some gay tendencies or what, I don't know. He supported his sister and her daughter. And at one summer, during the war years, he used to let us have his... He had a cottage out on Old Lakeshore Road in Putnam, which was right across, diagonally across the street from the Old Lakeshore Tavern at that point. And he would give us his cottage for the summer at no charge. And he would come out on a Sunday, and we would have some food, and we'd go over to the tavern, and he'd buy drinks for whoever we had there, and then he'd go home. He never stayed overnight or anything. It was never any straight making passes or in general, nothing. He accepted whoever I went with, and we were very good friends always.
And where was this cottage?
On the Old Lakeshore Road near Putnam. But now that was a straight relationship. And so far as he and I was concerned, and yet he never did the straight thing as most men would do, would make a pass. And that when he went to the sheriff's dinners and got smashed, he'd call up three seats to the wind, and I would drive one car, this was with Charlotte, and Charlotte would drive the other car. We'd take him home, let him in the door, put his car in the garage, and come home in our car. But it was really, really close. I have had a lot of straight men friends who it's been not a gay relationship or never a straight relationship, just sheer friendship.
That's interesting.
Well, I like men. Mm-hmm. I like men provided they don't touch me.
Right, right. They watch the place.
Like, I used to go to our company dances and dance with men. It never bothered me. But I just don't like any sexual closeness with men. Mm-hmm. That's squeaking. Is that supposed to be?
I don't think that's that. That's a cat with a bell on it. That's Beeble.
Okay.
No. It is a buzzing sound, but I don't think it's bad.
Okay, fine.
What was I going to ask you? We're still back in 19... What? This